It's the happy hour on a Friday from New Orleans. Look out. That's fun. On the Guy Benson Show, I'm Guy Benson. GuyBensonShow.com is our website. The podcast is always free, always on demand when the show is over. GuyBensonShow.com, FoxNewsPodcast.com, or wherever you get your podcast. Bonus Benson on weekends. Don't forget about that. Follow us on social media, Guy Benson Show, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. This hour is sponsored by the Finnish Long Drink. So good. Check it out at thelongdrink.com. Always drink responsibly. 21 plus only. Joining us now from New York, Jason Chaffetz, Fox News contributor, former House Oversight Committee chairman, author of the book Puppeteers. Jason, it is great to have you back here.
Always love coming on. Thanks. Thanks, Guy.
So I have to tell you, I was watching a speech at the UN yesterday. It's the Iranian foreign minister, and he's spouting a bunch of regime propaganda. And he was also directly threatening the United States of America, saying that we'll get sucked into the horrors of war. And he was using all this overwrought language the way that authoritarians always do. If the Gaza conflict doesn't end, he was threatening the United States on U.S. soil in this speech at the UN. And the backdrop of this, Jason, is Iran was behind the Hamas massacre of Jews, including dozens of Americans, some of whom are still being held hostage right now in Gaza. Iran is behind Hezbollah attacking Israel from the north. And our colleague here at Fox, Lucas Tomlinson, noted yesterday, in the last few weeks, the U.S. has been attacked 16 different times. U.S. interests, U.S. troops, 16 different times in recent weeks by Iranian proxies. These guys are attacking our people, they are killing our people, and now they're threatening us on our own soil. And I get how the UN works, but part of me is like, how is this guy allowed to come into the country, say these things, given what he's responsible for, what his country is doing actively to us, and then we just sort of say, okay, well, we disagree, and off he goes back to Tehran. That just seems pretty sick to me.
Yeah, to get berated on our own soil, I think, is totally inappropriate. Not only does the Biden administration give him the proper visa paperwork, but it also offers Secret Service protection while he's here. Meanwhile, they want death and destruction to the United States of America. And the examples you cite are just the most recent. I mean, the State Department's been telling us for a long time that Iran is the biggest, largest state sponsor of terror on the planet.
Right. Clearly they are.
And last week, to have the president of the United States in written words, you know, when he gave that speech, he talked about how he was going to continue to hold Iran accountable. And I cannot point to a single thing that the Biden-Harris administration has done to hold Iran accountable. And Guy, I got to tell you.
Well, maybe he meant by that, like, swelling their bank accounts.
I mean, by the billions of dollars, I really do believe one of the biggest things that the United States could do that would be the most helpful against Russia and their aggression in Ukraine and against Iran and their aggression around the world, certainly against Israel and the United States, is to have our energy policy.
Yes.
When the energy prices are down and low, Iran is not able to fund their terrorism, and Russia is not able to fund their efforts too. You have to starve the beast. You have to until they actually produce oil and that we drive down the price of gas and petroleum-related products, you will never, ever solve this problem.
Because, yeah, but it's amazing, right? Because the Biden administration, for their own other domestic political reasons, won't do that. So instead, they'll enrich Iran, not just through what you're talking about, but the ransom payments and not enforcing the sanctions and all of that. They will also effectively enrich the Russians, even while they're trying to sanction them on behalf of Ukraine and siding with Ukraine in that war, which I agree with. But again, it's this incoherent, inconsistent energy policy. They're even, like, making big concessions and enriching the Venezuelans. We talk about this occasionally. It's one of the most insane suites of policies. When you look at them all together, it makes absolutely no sense at all.
That one single thing in the name of climate change, that's the existential threat that's going to destroy the world and destroy the planet, they're fine in the meantime having thousands of people killed, slaughtered, terrorism invoked, They're fine with that as long as there's not climate change. And it all boils down, in my mind, to energy policy. It won't solve everything, but it will give, it will take away the resources that they need to funnel and fuel, to fuel their future, have the income, to buy the rockets, buy the terrorists, to do all of those things. If we would just be energy independent, energy sufficient,
which we can be, right?
It's a choice. It's a choice. It's exactly, guys, it's exactly right. That's the choice. And that's what's so infuriating. Reagan understood it. How did he help break up the Soviet Union? He did it economically. They got into this arms race, and Russia and the Soviet Union couldn't keep up, and it bankrupted them. And there are a lot of people that look at our economic situation, $33 trillion in debt. You look at the Chinese are now selling off the debt that they own by about $50 billion a month right now. They're getting rid of that debt. And we keep spending, and we don't have energy to help drive forward our American economy.
Well, it's lunacy.
It just, that all ties together.
And it benefits these despotic anti-American regimes. And even on top of that, you could say, well, maybe the trade-off is worth it because we're saving the planet, but we're not. It doesn't actually end or even make a dent in climate change because these other giant polluters are more than making up for what we're doing here. It's just a lose-lose in every direction. And of course, it's therefore enthusiastically Biden policy. Jason Chaffetz, let's talk about Congress now. A couple different things here. Number one, finally, there's a Speaker of the House.
Yes.
I don't know how well you know Mike Johnson, if at all, but kind of a surprise speaker. People didn't have him on the bingo card going into all of this 3 weeks ago. What do you make of the 3 weeks of chaos and dysfunction? Now the Republicans, at least for the moment, are united coming out of this. Just your overall thoughts on how this is shaking out, at least in the moment.
Mike Johnson's a good person. I overlapped with him. He was on the House Judiciary Committee. So he was coming in as I was going out, but we did overlap a little bit. Good man. He's just a good person. You're never going to find anybody you agree with on everything, but he's probably the most conservative speaker we've had since Newt Gingrich. And I just think he's a good, solid person. Tough stuff ahead of him. I was very critical of the timing and the way this call of the chair, the vacate the chair, happened. I didn't like that. I am sympathetic to the arguments. We weren't going through regular order. We are $30 trillion in debt. There were promises that were made, votes that were supposed to be taken on balanced budget amendments and term limits and the appropriations process. While I'm sympathetic to all that, I did not like the timing of it. In the end, I think we'll look back and say, wow, why didn't we make this change a long time ago? Mike Johnson's, good guy. And
well, does he last, or do they do this again for some reason? Like
the second they say,
oh, look, he's betrayed, whatever, let's go get a bunch of attention again.
I don't think they can get away with that again. I don't think any member on the Republican side of the aisle wants to go through that. And look, give him some runway. You know, you're walking in and saying, hey, days from now, the government's shutting down. We got this problem in Ukraine. We got this problem in Israel. You got this immigration problem. I mean, you can't expect them to solve all problems all the time. I really do believe also, Guy, long term, we need to redefine as a country, and certainly the Republicans could do this, what we expect from a speaker. Because we expect them to be chief fundraiser, chief spokesperson, pass every bill. Yeah, that's too much for a speaker. They should not have to have the core responsibility. Push that down to the committee chairs. Let those committees run it. I would redo the appropriations process. I don't think there should even be an appropriations committee. The authorizing committee should be the same as the ones that do the appropriations. That's how you can use the power of the purse in this country. We just never do any of that stuff.
Did you see the new surveillance footage of Jamal Bowman?
Yeah,
and the old fire alarm pull. So we'll remember the images, still images of him, and his explanation for it, because there was a vote to fund the government, and the Democrats felt like it was being rushed. They're trying to buy time. He pulls the fire alarm in one of the House office buildings.
Yeah.
And then he kind of pretended and was claiming like, oh, I thought it was going to open the door because the sign said that and it was confusing. And I was just in a rush to get out that door so I could go vote. None of it made sense. But some credulous people in the news media were like, oh, okay, I guess it is confusing. That's all he meant. It never washed with anyone remotely skeptically or clearly looking at what happened, he was lying and trying to backfill an excuse for something that he had done extremely stupidly and getting caught on video. That's what happened. But here's the dumbest thing, Jason. He must have known that there was actual video footage, not just the stills, but he built his excuses around the still images, like the screen grabs. Now he's been charged with a misdemeanor. I know there are people arguing that he's been undercharged for what he did, but the video came out. He walks up to the door. He sees the signage on the door, takes it off, takes it down himself, walks over to the fire alarm, which he said he thought would open the door. Like, that's never how these things have ever worked. That was a ludicrous thing to say. Pulls the alarm and then just casually strolls off in the other direction. He didn't even go out those doors.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, he didn't look like he was panicked. It was very calm. He just went up, took the signage down, pulled the alarm, and walked away from the doors, back towards the middle of the building. What an absolute embarrassment, and what a huge lie.
Yeah, total lie. I think the prosecution should be more aggressive than that. They certainly have prosecuted others for far, far worse. I do have a beef with the Capitol Hill Police. I thought that they should have not released still photos. I think they should have released the video at the beginning. Why did they do that? I think they did that to make him look better than he actually did. That, you know.
Although I kind of, can I just push back? My devil's advocate, Jason, would be I'm kind of glad that it happened in this sequence because they trapped him in an excuse that was then completely blown up by the lie when the truth came out of the full video, right? So they,
I don't know if they
strung him along, but like, hey, here's this image of you. He's like, all right, here's my new excuse. And now the video just totally explodes what he had said.
Yeah, if you saw the pictures that the media were running of the screenshot of him, you know, pulling the alarm, but then you look at screenshots of photos the media took an hour or two later, those signs were back up. And I'm like, wait a sec, those are different. Look, the other thing I want people to realize, at that point, I went back and checked on it. He had voted on the floor of the House more than 500 times. So it's not as if, hey, I'm a rookie here. I don't know how to get over there.
How do doors work? What is a fire alarm?
You mean, come on, when you voted 500 times on the floor of the House, and you say, well, I thought it would open the door. Well, why not try opening the door? At least go out the door. But he didn't even try.
He didn't even try that. He went straight up to the signs, pulled the signs down, hit the alarm, and walked off.
He was trying to delay the vote. That was the thing. The Senate was as slow as molasses in moving. The House was trying to speed up their vote. He was disrupting a government proceeding by doing something nefarious, and that's why I think he should be prosecuted much more than just
interfering. I mean, he's interfering with a congressional proceeding, which I've heard is a very serious thing to do. I hope that maybe it gets another look in light of the new evidence. Jason, last question. Since you did just mention the slow-as-molasses United States Senate, I did see a story about this. Jason Chaffetz not closing door, but not actively pursuing 2024 run for Senate. So the context here, for people who may not know, Senator Mitt Romney is not seeking re-election out in Utah. He announced that a few weeks ago. I have great respect for Senator Romney. I always have, even when we have some disagreements. So he'll be stepping away from Congress. There are a couple names buzzing around out there. Robert O'Brien, people who are, you know, in Congress or serving in the state legislature. And then our friend Jason Chaffetz, who served in Congress from the state of Utah. And I was a little curious, is that something you might be interested in? And based on the headline, you're not saying no, but you're not saying yes. Would you care to expound on that?
Well, look at the time here, Guy. I want to be very sensitive to the commercial break I'm sure you're about to have. But look, I love it at Fox. I'm not trying to send mixed signals or be deceiving in any way. I just learned a long time ago in politics, you never say never. You never close that door. But I am not actively pursuing this. My life will be complete if I am not a United States senator. So I just want to be clear about that. There are some good people in the race. We'll see how it goes. But I've also said out loud, I think at some point down the road, you know, I'd probably be much more inclined to want to run for governor than run for the United States Senate. And there's a whole set of reasons for that. But I've been in Congress. We'll see what happens, but not something I'm pursuing.
Not pursuing, but if the people cry out, Jason, you know, sometimes the people cry out. So we'll see what happens. As to quote you directly, we'll see what happens. But I had to ask the question. And if things change, come back on here and chat with us, because we would love to have that conversation.
Absolutely.
Jason Chaffetz, for now, a Fox News contributor. He is former House Oversight Committee chairman. His book is Puppeteers. Jason, always enjoy it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Energetic, informed, fast-paced. Guy Benson Show.